On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! One and all. A little more than a minute past the hour. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. The easiest place to go and get the stream by clicking Listen Live. Or, of course, you can always get the Horn by wonderful little apps for your smartphones. Things like TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio's app. Star.fm, Streama.com, Roku devices, the podcast is available on iTunes, and of course the podcast feed is at WhiteRoseSociety.org under the subdomain for this here program. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday, the 16th day of April, 2013, and I have a sneaking suspicion we're going to wind up picking up where we left off last night. Just because so many questions remain, and as progressive people, we tend to like to process through that sort of thing. Third switch thrown. Thank you, Sparky. I am sitting here still in the somewhat improvised surroundings of the studio here back at the mansion. But it's going out, and that's a good thing. Found out a little bit more. Just had a quick diagnostic phone call with Lottie. And we're thinking one of the streaming computers that died did so because its power supply went. Working on sorting that out. And hopefully there... Well, I've got to get all this fixed before Sunday. Simply because Sunday it's back to D.C. Oh, there's the problem. I didn't throw the third switch. Cuss me. Okay, third switch thrown. If you want to hear the first 3 minutes of the program, you'll have to go get the podcast. This is something I'm not used to because I'm still getting used to having Dr. Bill's wonderful commentary going before me, and it involves re-pushing a button. And I hadn't re-pushed it, so I have to put that on the list that hangs here. Throw the third. It's not throw the third switch. It's throw the third switch again. That's the way the third switch works. Thanks to everybody who contributed last night to help meet last night's fundraising goal. That means this evening all we have to do is raise $150. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. For folks who don't like that method, and there are a number of reasons why, and that's completely acceptable, you can always... simply contribute by sending to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, WV 25801. And just remember, please, don't make anything payable to Bob Kincaid. Make it payable to Head On Communications to The Horn. Right. And Boss Man Wayne is doing better and better and better. And has been making happy little trips to the mailbox, and he's been telling me that the mailbox hasn't been hollow and echoey and tinny sounding, so that always gives Boss Man Wayne a smile. And while I was gone to D.C., he was actually going to call in. I gotta call him back and make sure that he does, because he just wants to talk to y'all for a minute and offer up thanks for all the kind thoughts and good energy that was sent his way during what was a very, very scary event. Let's see. I had this in the stack last night, but given the nature of the events which transpired, I didn't feel like it was necessarily appropriate that particular day. But it is of great help, and it's a note from our buddy Scott in Sweden of the Beat the Swede Challenge. You know, we beat the Swede in the last month, and Scott, beaten Swede, came through on his end of the promise. But Scott has also heard about all the various and sundry technical nightmares that are taking place here, and I got one of those inimitable, in the truest sense of the word, notes from Scott. Hey, Bobba Rebob. He says, my on-air contribution for the week. Yeah, you betcha. There's good news from the great Taiga. At this very moment, the check is in the mail, being borne by the thundering pedis of stampeding flying snails. Okay, my fellow hornies. The IT department of the main horn production facilities has been seriously underfunded a good long while, and computers just don't run on fumes, unlike the old Saab. Now we've all heard by now that the horn's fewer computers are now Frasiga. Oh, sorry, Frasiga. Okay, darn it, I hate being 50. Of course, it beats the alternative. Time to put the computer reading glasses on. That's no help either. Okay. Maybe if we change the angle of the monitor a little bit. There, much better. Now, we've all heard by now the horn's fyra computers are now trasiga. That in Swedish is the four computers are broken. But this by no means spells dysterhet and bedrövelse, gloom and doom. Okay, end of corny Nordic accent. Bob will now return to his melodious southern drawl. Okay. Scott says, it dawned on me that I take the remainder of the year's Beat the Swede kitty and just offer it all up now for spare parts. Bob assures me he can stuff that yowling kitty into the computers, jiffy him up in a week or three with his growing... Sorry. See, I love this. You guys are so comfortable with the way you send stuff through now that I've actually got stage directions inside the listener emails. This is beautiful, so... Let me get this right. Bob assures me he can stuff that yowling kitty into the computers, jiffy them up in a week or three with his growing PC repairman skills under the tutelage of John Fox, the bounder from down yonder, and we're up and running again. Scott says, this is so doable, Horn family members. So instead of the Beat the Swede challenge for the remainder of the year, I'm throwing the third switch now, providing the jumper cable lightning rod start to the Franken PCs in the belfry, and if the rest of you just keep coming through meeting the monthly targets, we'll have passed yet another hinder old Loki. Thought he'd dump on us. Them gods is sons of bitches, don't you know? Oh, I guess we kind of reverted to the corny Nordic accent, didn't we, Scott? So hang in there, my little hornies. Meet the monthly goals, and a wee bit more, I hope, and we're good for a long while yet. And as an extra bonus, pay attention here, Bob tells me there is a new hard drive on the shopping list. Aye, that there is. And the GEO private prison company could dangle 6 million clams in front of Florida Atlantic University for naming rights to their football stadium if... The GEO private prison company could dangle 6 million clams in front of the Florida Atlantic University for naming rights to their football stadium, then we are duty-bound to come up with an even stranger offer. No one out-weirds the horn. because after all, as Brother Albert probably knows, we have the weirding module. He is the Kwisatz Haderach. I love the little cultural references. So, says Scott, in addition to meeting the monthly target for April, if anyone else donates $20 or more earmarked for PC repairs, your name goes into a drawing, asterisk, Bob, pick a drawing date, 6 weeks, and promo it daily as you would the Beat the Swede challenge. Done. 6 weeks. Let's call it June 1. Between now and June 1. All right. In addition to meeting the monthly target for April, so that means we've got to get above that, if anyone else donates $20 or more earmarked for PC repairs, your name goes into a drawing to be held on June 1 for naming rights to the new hard drive. Footnote, some space limitations may apply. Yes, just think. Every time Bob fires up his 99% IBM-compatible Stanley Steamer 386 rebuild, oh, Jesus, that's hard. It may be your snarky name or comment that he has to endure every working day for years to come, because we all know how often things get upgraded hereabout. There may even be other sponsoring naming rights on offer here, and only Hey Bob or Rebob can say. It all depends on what he needs to buy and how much pride and guff he's willing to swallow. Admit it. Haven't we all always wanted a chance to name a professional hard disk, a portable storage device, his next grandchild? That next grandchild is going to be a long while coming, we're hoping, but I guess it's on the table. Finally, one last mixophore. Jesus. Wait a minute. You don't know how many times I read over this in advance. One last medded mixophore. I'm not nearly as thick as you drunk I am. One last medded mixophore. When overextended Bob goes to bat in the house, bullshit pen, drumming up support, he's pinch running for all of us. So let's do like the old Royals pain in the ass Kansas City third baseman George Brett and send him complete relief each and every month. Signed, Scott. In Sweden, the Swede, who is beaten. That is a magnificently kind offer, and it blew me away. And Scott has already come through on his end. And that's what's going to enable us to do the rebuilds we've got to do in order to keep things going and be able to. So, yeah, the naming rights to the new hard drive are out there. I mean, if you want to name it after yourself or name it after a concept or the naming rights to the new hard drive are out there. We may wind up offering naming rights to a motherboard or a power supply. You see where we're going? So it's out there for you, and the drawing will be had on June the 1st. Let me make sure June the 1st is a... Hold on. May, June. Ah, damned if it's not a Saturday. Okay, so let's make it June the 3rd. June the 3rd. Work for you? Goody. So, naming rights to the new hard drive, the new power supply, will be drawn on June the 3rd. Oh, thanks a million, Marty. You're sounding more like Sarah Palin than a Swede. Marty, you've been watching too much Muppets. Darn it. But anyway, I wanted to put that out there because it was an incredibly... No, it was not incredibly. It was an undeniably kind thing for Scott to do to help pull us out of this technical nightmare. And anybody who wants to help him out is welcome to. But as he stated, the main goal is to see that the fundraising goals keep getting met month by month by month. And we will make that possible by hitting the $150 a night is what we try to raise. And, you know, I should mention, because from time to time I do, I assume that people like to be anonymous, but if you don't, if it's okay for me to mention your name on air, I want to. So please let me know along those lines so that people can know or, you know, have some sense of. Because a lot of you who contribute also contribute your ideas. You also contribute your, your emails, your phone calls. Let me know. And that way folks can know what it means to keep things going here. And when you do a PayPal, for instance, you can just put a little memo in the PayPal note, or you can send a note along with your money order check, whatever, and Boss Man Wayne will get that to me. Thank you. Thank you very much to Ed for getting us started this evening. We find ourselves a third of the way toward this evening's fundraising, and it is much appreciated. And that means only 10 more folks at $10, 2 more at 50, 3 more at 33 and a third, and I know how much you all enjoy hearing me do math on the fly. 17 minutes past the hour, and it is time to get started, because there are a couple of more notes that I want to get us started with. Note came in from Michael earlier this afternoon, about 3:30 p.m. here on the east in the Eastern Time Zone. The subject line, and when you see something like this pop in, you're gonna open an email like this. I'm just grateful that Michael doesn't work for a Nigerian heiress who's trying to get her husband's money to the right, because when you see a subject line that says dances with wing nuts, you are going to open it. And I did. Bob. Tom, meaning Hartman, is simulcasting today with some wing nut named Rusty Humphreys. I don't even look that up in the Urban Dictionary. It might be next to Rusty Trombone. Rusty just said, really? Simulcasting with a wing nut? What is this? Super Friends? There was always an uneasy competitiveness between Superman and Batman and Aquaman and everything, but we all knew that Superman was the, he had the real superpowers. Oh, Aquaman. Goody. You can talk to an octopus. Remind me not to call you when I need to move the Empire State Building in a single bound. Tom is simulcasting today with some wingnut called Rusty Humphreys. Rusty just said, Rusty. You know, they called Limbaugh Rusty for the first 25 or 30 years of his life. Yeah. Rusty Humphreys. Rusty just said, Rusty? National Lampoon's Vacation, right? Mr. Papa Giorgio. Rusty just said, in apparent defense of the status quo and in vocal opposition to Obamacare, which he says is too far to the left, which I'm still trying to figure out. How can an insurance scheme be too far to the left when it was developed by the Heritage Foundation? Oh, well. He said, and this is a quote from Michael, I don't want you paying for my health care and me paying for your health care. It sounds good, but it just doesn't work. Editorially, Michael adds, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. followed by head desk. Boom. And he says, Tom didn't even call him on this. But my immediate thought is, private, for-profit, socialized, government-run, communist, whatever, doesn't matter. I don't think this dude knows how insurance works. Unless he's a chickens for checkups barter kind of guy. And then this. Bob, thank you for never, ever, ever simulcasting with a wingnut. Seriously, thanks. Well, no thanks are needed, Michael, because I couldn't stand to do it myself. I mean, there'd have to be a lot of simoleons involved. And even then, I'd probably be liquored up. I couldn't do that. Life's too short. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's some money involved. Dances with wingnuts. Marty noting, he says, I was actually happy Hartman was on with the Conservatosser. Gave me a chance to finish listening to Nicole Sandler's podcast. And that is one of the nice things about progressive radio now. I mean, if one of us is just having a shitty day, then there's always another of us out there that might just really be going 5 for 5 at the plate, and all of them grand slams. Apparently, Ray is more familiar with Rusty Humphries than our buddy Michael is. Ray says, funny, with Rusty's first name, exactly what he sounds like, Rusty little bitch. I used to hear him, well, they used to run him once in a while on the on the radio station in the fifth smallest radio market in America, And I generally hear AM radio when I'm out in the car, and he was too much even. I couldn't even listen for the zoo value. I mean, there's some icky looking stuff in the zoo, you know, but no, not even for the sake of the curiosity. Is this the guy who was on Babylon 5? Or is that somebody else? Some other wingnut? I think is Rusty Humphries from like Milwaukee or something? Did I just say like? Is Rusty Humphries from Milwaukee or something and periodically fills in for Flush Flimball when Flush is, I don't know, taking one of his Dominican Republic all-boy vacations? I don't know. All right, well, we've got our first naming rights entry. Ed just said he wants it to be the ECMHD. And remember, this is going to be repeated frequently. Show after show after show. Naming rights. So no, Michael, and the rest, anybody else, you need never worry that you're going to hear me simulcasting with a wingnut. I mean, what, were they at a conference or something, or was this really just super friends? Oh, well, you know, it probably has something to do with both of them working for the same company. I don't know. And then this, going back to yesterday's topicality, from Dr. John. False flags and unexamined causes. As setup to this, we've got a little audio. There was a press conference last night in Boston at the Westin Hotel at which various and sundry officials were giving what information they had. Let us go forthwith to the relevant audio. You'll understand why.
Have you taken any questions?
Well, sir, why would one speak to some people in the audience to be calm moments before the bomb went off? Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and for more homeland security or sticking a hands down on the pants on the streets?
No. Next question.
And that's how you deal with an Alex Joneser, because it was an Alex Joneser. Some creepy dude from InfoWars who wanted to know, and really, is the governor of Massachusetts the guy you ask whether this is a false flag attack? In other words, a conspiracy. The bombing of and shredding of an 8-year-old child and two others and 169 wounded, doctors working at amputations in Boston area hospitals as if it was some sort of, I don't know, like a Civil War hospital cutting off damaged limbs. And InfoWar numbnuts jumps up at the beginning of the press conference and says, is this a false flag attack to take away more of our civil liberties? And bless his heart, Governor Deval Patrick just said, no, next question. At which point, two men in white coats got the InfoWars guy in a butterfly net and took him back to the happy place and gave him his purple crayon with which he could write his dispatches to Alex Jones with said purple crayon clutched just determinedly between his toes. Jesus. But then here's the other side of that. Now that Deval Patrick has said, no, this is not a false flag attack, that means that the grand scheme goobies can now say, see, he said it wasn't. That proves it is. Give me another swig of that wood alcohol, Lemuel. F me running. Please. Is this another false flag attack? And see, the words mean things. Another false flag attack. What was the what's the preceding false flag attack to which you are referring, oh, InfoWars maven you? 9/11. Sandy Hook? Sun's still out. Can't drink beer. By the way, Ray, with regard to Rusty Humphries, yeah, that's him. Filled in for Rush. Not the one from Babylon 5. How can you? You got to have a program. Oh, this is the program. That was yesterday's little shtick, though. So, with the audio of the guy, oh, is this a false flag attack? Oh, my God, the walls are breathing. Paisley sky, whoa. So, with that as the sort of setup and prologue, Dr. John's note. Bob, today I overheard a bunch of students in two separate contexts and places, talking about how likely it was that the Boston Marathon bombs were a government conspiracy designed to lead to greater crackdowns on our civil liberties. One group directly compared them to the 9/11 attacks, assuming the same about that day, and the other group used the phrase false flag and how Alex Jones was talking about it on his program. These were college kids, Bob, enrolled at a selective university that's part of a once prestigious state system. I say once prestigious because a generation of budget cuts have gone a long way toward hollowing out the University of North Carolina system, and I'll say that to anyone who asks. I resisted the urge to intervene. God help me, I didn't want to be accused of stifling free and open debate. Right, because you never know when those gangs of right-wingers... used to be a consumer advocate? Who am I thinking of? Well, they're not teaching conservative mathematics in schools. I realize now that by not speaking, I actually contributed to the spread of ignorance that I'm paid, in a sense, to counter, says Dr. John. I've been thinking about what I should have said, and it occurred to me that you foreshadowed my response last night when you mentioned something to the effect of, we're not equipped to contemplate hard solutions because we don't recognize hard problems. The problem with people crying false flag and alleging shadowy government conspiracies is that they fail to confront a truth that's quite simple, but one that implies that we all need to radically change our lives. We don't need to blame a loss of civil liberties on complicated conspiracies reaching to the highest level of government and the military and corporations that involve attacks and then diversion toward a fake cause. Yeah, Horowitz. David Horowitz. That's the clown who... They're not teaching the conservative version of biology. Yeah, David Horowitz. I want to go back to this paragraph, though, because this is important. I want to read it in toto. We don't need to blame a loss of civil liberties on complicated conspiracies reaching to the highest level of government and the military and corporations that involve attacks and then diversion toward a fake cause. The simple fact is, attacks here and abroad are the perfectly predictable result of U.S. military and economic policy. There's no conspiracy to rob us of our freedoms. We allow our freedoms to be taken away because we allow militarism to get exported abroad, and we allow suffering to flourish at home. They're baked into the recipe for capitalism. Militarism and capitalism breed violence. Violence begets violence, whether it's the violence of a bomb dropped on a wedding party, a young woman committing suicide after her rape is filmed, a desperate, addicted man robbing another, or a paranoid survivalist rampaging through a community of others. Violence breeds fear, policing, and surveillance. It breeds attempts to treat the symptom, not the problem. We lose our liberties because we tolerate the conditions that breed the acts, and then we respond to the acts by making ourselves less free. I'm trying to say you're right where we're... You're right. I'm trying to say you're right. We're afraid of hard solutions. Paranoid false flaggers are an exception. They see a very complicated solution, but it's a solution to what's actually a very simple problem. Capitalism engenders poverty and militarism. In the future, says Dr. John, I resolve to tell people like those students I overheard one simple thing. You want to protect our liberties? Then work for economic and social justice. It really is that elegantly simple. And just was predicted on the show last night. Show, program. Let's say program, not show. This is not a show. The "don't politicize this" chorus has begun. And while I am not the guy to defend Wolf Blitzer, it's kind of hard not to in this particular instance. I forget who it was that went after him. But it was a weirdo. But of course, that kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Wolf Blitzer was attacked. Oh, goodness me. Where did it go? Oh, yeah. How could I forget? It was that Yahoo from Texas by the name of Steve Stockman. How this guy gets by, breathes without headphones saying, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, is beyond me. He tweeted, Wolf Blitzer should immediately apologize. The mainstream media once again exploit killings to attack political opponents. What? Edith? Yeah. Well, what did Wolf Blitzer do? Wolf Blitzer, I feel silly every time I say the man's name. I mean, doesn't he have a real name? Okay, Blitzer, fine. But really, Wolf? When he's much, he looks much more Schnauzer Blitzer to me, but you know, what the hell? So Steve Stockman said that because of this. All right? I've got the audio right here for you. It's going to involve hearing Wolf Blitzer's voice, and we'll pass the tequila bottle and get over it or something. Voice made for print he has, you know. But this is what got Steve Stockton's maiden forms in a pinch.
One intriguing thought here, and I'm curious, Mike, and I'll ask Matt to weigh in as well. It is a state holiday in addition to the Boston Marathon. It is a state holiday in Massachusetts today called Patriots Day. Who knows if that had anything at all to do with these twin explosions.
Got that? It's Patriots Day today in Massachusetts, and who knows if that had anything to do with the explosions. Okay. That's what got representing Steve Stockman all in a furor. The mainstream media once again exploit killings to attack political opponents. We're familiar with our Shakespeare, are we not? We are familiar with that line wherein it is said, methinks he doth, she doth, somebody, methinks he doth protest too much. This isn't the only right-winger to jump out there hollering, now wait just a confarnasted minute. Ain't nobody said that it was us what done it, us teabagging John Birch Society petition signing, freedom loving, gun carrying, toting, Bible reading, strychnine swilling, floor rolling, tongue speaking, upstanding, God fearing, Christian fundamentalist, patriotic, liberty loving Americans what do that? You take it back. The only problem is there's nothing to take back because nobody said it. But they did run right out there to say, wasn't us! Dang it! Although I got an email from Greg overnight saying, Bob, it was perfectly appropriate to point out that there is a certain resonance with this part of the month of April and right-wingers, it was tax day. It was a tax day. Get it? A tax day, A-T-A-X or A-T-T-A-C-K-S. Then there's the whole Hitler's birthday thing and the whole Lexington and Concord thing and the whole Columbine thing and the whole Waco thing and the Ruby Ridge thing. And this just happens to happen. I mean, coincidences all the time. Virgins giving birth, talking trees. It's not a natural, orderly, law-driven universe we live in. Miracles happen. This is one of them. Miracles. Nothing to see here. Move along. These are not the right-wing droids you're looking for. By the way, one of the things that was mentioned last night, Dr. John mentioned, we talked about some, was the New York Post's absolute stop the presses, run it, assertion that a Saudi national is in custody. And that stuff gets a lot of traction. And once again, all day long, we've been reminded, no one's under arrest. In fact, a search warrant was served at the apartment of the 22-year-old Saudi national, who, badly burned, is in the hospital, whom the right wing was absolutely joyously hoping to pull a Richard Jewell on. Now, I'll be damned, this is just breaking. And it apparently comes from my daughter. Updated 6:29 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, April 16th, 2013. Dateline Washington, D.C. An envelope that tested positive for the deadly poison ricin was intercepted Tuesday afternoon at the U.S. Capitol's off-site mail facility in Washington. Congressional and law enforcement sources tell CNN. After the envelope tested positive in a first routine test, it was retested two more times, each time coming up positive, the law enforcement source said. The package was then sent to a Maryland lab for further testing. The envelope was addressed to a U.S. senator, though the sources would not say which one. Ricin is a highly toxic substance derived from castor beans, as little as 500 micrograms, an amount the size of a head of a pin, can kill an adult. There's no specific test for exposure and no antidote once exposed. It can be produced easily and cheaply. Well, thanks for telling us that. And authorities in several countries have investigated links between suspected extremists and ricin, but experts say it is more effective on individuals than as a weapon of mass destruction. Hell. So, Jesus. But yeah, the frenzy is going on. Absolutely. Now, people like Nick Kristof and Charlie Pierce and a few other, well, Wolf Blitzer, for God's sakes, apologize, dang it, or we're gonna bring Texas Rangers up there and show you what we do to. Well, we shoot horse thieves, for God's sakes. What do you reckon we do to one of you, Wolf? Sparky in the chat room pointing out, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says letter with ricin or another poison was sent to Roger Wicker, Senator Roger Wicker. God almighty. Here we go again. But that ain't the, you know, Steve Stockman ain't the end of it. The paranoia light is on full bore. I got a list here of not pretty things. But I'm going to read them to you. I'm going to share them with you. I'm not going to read to you. But but I'm going to share them with you. Because this is not the for-profit media. And this is not the censored so-called public broadcast airwaves. We can say pretty much any word we want to here, up to and including booger. An individual out there, whose name I do not immediately see, went out and found some of the more choice tweets inhabiting the Twitter sphere in the wake of the horror yesterday in Boston. And suffice to say, it appears, based on what I see, most of these are one or another variation on the theme of white folks. These are tweets. And there's something to follow this, remind me. But these are tweets from right-wing types, hungry in the wake of a horror for vengeance. Oddly enough, most of these people are probably call themselves Christians, and yet they are, as usual, unaware of the contents of their own holy book, which says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." I'm killing a little time here to give parents of small children the opportunity to hustle little Timmy and little Cindy and little Susie and little Tommy out of the room. Are they gone yet? Okay. Let's start with this one. This is not for sensationalist value. This is to let you know what the mind of a certain segment of America really is like. Terrorist attack in Boston. Okay. Time to bomb the fuck out of the dirty-ass sand monkeys in the Middle East. Not content to have said that, one Katie Giorgio on Twitter then said, "I swear to God, if any of my family in Boston was hurt, I'll go kill all the sand monkeys myself because we know Obama won't order it himself." A white guy named Nick tweeted the following, and I'm reading these things verbatim. "Is Muslims bombed Boston? We as a planet need to wipe them the fuck off this world. Every one of them." Richie Pinkowski said, "That's fucking ridiculous. We need to just start nuking these fucking anti-American sand niggers and save ourselves." Alex Arredondo responded, "Let's go to Dearborn and kill some of those towel heads." Richie Pinkowski said, I'ma become the president somehow and order all our troops home, then order nuclear strikes on all those motherfuckers." Pat Mulligan said, "Fucking sand monkeys turn their," T-H-E-R-E, "fucking countries into parking lots already." Michael Morshes said, "Don't these terror retards realize that this just makes USA stronger, heighten security, and want vengeance on any sand monkey involved? Joseph Anton said, God bless and keep the poor souls at Boston Marathon safe and deport them sand niggers to the Arabian desert. And then there's Eric Rush, who's actually somebody, he thinks he's somebody out in East right-wingistan on the inner tubes. And he said, everybody do the national security ankle grab. Let's bring more Saudis in without screening them. Come on. Bill Schmalfeld answered him, saying, sweet God, are you already blaming Muslims? Eric Rush says, yes, they're evil. Let's kill them all. But, you know, one group of dark-skinned folks has got to get some relief, so luckily there's a group of other folks who can be blamed. Jace Christian, J-A-Y-C-E, J-C Christian, you got it, says, first attack in Boston this morning from North Korea, time to go to war. Jeffrey Kowal said, North Koreans definitely did this, fucking chinks. Josh Petrucci said, pray for Boston. It's time to go to war. Fuck the Koreans. USA needs to bomb Korea and make that place a parking lot. It was them who bombed us. Then there's Iggy Batista, who is a little bit more, he's less wordy. His prose is not so prolix. Be ready to blown off the fucking map, chinks. Hashtag started a war, hashtag you guys are fucked. Glenn Hoyles says, so it starts. Bunch of gooks setting off bombs, fucking jokers. J. Rob, however, is not too sure about causation, but he thinks he's got it narrowed down. It's either the gooks or the sand niggers. At this point, I don't care, but whoever's responsible better sleep with one eye open tonight. Hashtag America. M-E-R-I-C-A. Also under the hashtag America, fuck the towel heads and gooks. That's from Kyle Sullivan. Then someone calling himself The Crucible, whom I suspect to be from Alabama because his hashtag address is @Phil_Campbell5. Phil Campbell is one of the communities that was blown the hell off the map a couple of years ago by tornadoes. It was terrible. And how else can I tell this might be an Alabamian? Listen up. If these was actually bombs from them Dune Coon Arabs, that's D-O-O-N-C-O-O-N, or slanty gook Koreans, I will take many of their lives with my own hands, hashtag USMC. Holden Boyd said, Obama ill make it, he means I'll, but it's just little I, little L, little L. Obama, I'll make it easy for you, just deport all Koreans and sand niggers, and these bombings wouldn't happen, hashtag come on now. Robert DiBattista says, I'm sick of these fucking sand niggers and gooks trying to kill us. Hashtag fuck terrorism. No, fuck terrorism. this have something to do with either cards or a starchy root? I don't know. Jonathan Matthew says, I seriously wanna fight in this war. I swear to God, I'll murder the Korean moms, kids, dogs, dads, elders, everyone. Then he followed up. Muslims are to blame, too. They can have a bomb in their towels. All caps, fuck you, towel heads, hashtag fuck Muslims. Then, of course, there's Alex Jones.
Our hearts go out to those that are hurt or killed, hashtag Boston Marathon, but this thing stinks to high heaven,
hashtag false flag. And there's Prudence. This is... Sit down, strap in. Tennis ball and duct tape might be handy for the scream. Prudence, who apparently does not live up to her name, says, this is Obama's fault. He doesn't care about keeping us safe. Hashtag Boston Marathon, hashtag TCOT, hashtag TGDN. Oh, whatever. And then there's Dan Welch. And Dan Welch is pretty obviously a white dude. Yet his hashtag handle is at thug life numeral 2 street. When 9/11 happened, and I'm taking it this guy was probably sizing his way up through his second set of Pampers. When 9/11 happened. Because he tweets, when 9/11 happened, Bush was right there. Where the fuck is that nigger Obama? This is from the damned if you do and damned if you don't department. Because had Barack Obama gotten on a plane and immediately flown to Boston, which the Secret Service would not have let him do, he would have been criticized for politicizing the event. Politicizing the tragedy. Just like that damn Bill Clinton up there saying, I feel your pain. You know how I know that this guy was still working on basic bowel and bladder control when 9/11 happened? Because he doesn't know, apparently, that Dim Leader sat for, what, half hour? Continuing on, reading My Pet Goat upside down to some elementary school children in Florida, then was hustled aboard Aircraft One, which went frantically flying around the United States, going everywhere but Washington, D.C. Remember, he went to Louisiana. I don't know, maybe a few, you know, little mud bugs, maybe a little jambalaya, some etouffee. Then flew off to, what was it, Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, where he, you know, went and changed his armor. And finally wandered back home. But Doofus here thinks that Bush was right there! Then there's Righteous Truth. Some guy who calls himself Steffman 1911. Happy Patriots Day, you idiot liberals. This is what happens when your president opens our borders to his Muslim brotherhood. Joseph Hoffman was a little more to the point. If we don't blow up some terrorist fuck's country, Obama's the biggest pussy. I wish I could join the military so bad to kill some sand niggers. Well, Joseph Hoffman, why can't you join the military? And finally, Mrs. Hunnam, at underscore love Carolina, says, that's what Boston gets for being so goddamn gay.
That's the front end. Then there's this. I mean, Pamela Geller, who lives in a state of perpetual terror, afraid that the Muslims is going to get somebody. Jihad in Boston, 12 dead, 50 injured. Horrific Boston marathon bombing. Jihad, you get it? Yeah, she was apparently reading the New York Post, or the New York Post was reading her, 12 dead. Mercifully, so it's still only three. Some precious people decided to ladle out a dose of crap to Nick Kristof from the New York Times for tweeting simply, "Explosion is a reminder that ATF needs a director. Shame on Senate Republicans for blocking appointment." That was referred to as unnecessary partisanship. And then there's Patrick Dollard. Yeah. All caps. George Bush kept us safe for 8 years, and once again, at Barack Obama, fails as terrorists bomb Boston Marathon. I don't want this to turn into the "there's a lot of dirty words on the Bob Kincaid program" night, but shit the bed! George Bush kept us safe for 8 years, and once again, Barack Obama... Right, because there's a plane into a building every other damn day. George Bush kept us safe for 8 years. You know, except that one day that he was rather strenuously warned about, but chose to ignore. But apart from that, he kept us safe. Of course, there's about 5,000 or more dead American sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and aunts and cousins and mommies and daddies. Right. Who aren't enjoying that safe America because they got killed for a lie. There's a young man in Kansas City who is at present trying to starve to death because he can't stand living, or what passes for living, anymore from the maiming he took in Iraq for a lie. Just so happens there's actually a report out today, a bipartisan review, if you will, independent even, that reaches the conclusion that it is beyond doubt, okay? There's no gray area. There's no fuzzy left about it. It is beyond doubt that in the aftermath of September the 11th, 2001, the United States, on numerous occasions, repeatedly and without remorse, engaged in torture. You won't be hearing just a hell of a lot about that anytime soon, given what is in the news. Even if what happened yesterday had not happened, I don't know if you would have heard about this. But Jesus Christ on a popsicle stick cross. Can we finally say that, yeah, really, this is not partisanship? George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, that whole stinking crowd, really do need to pay a visit to The Hague and stand there while the charges are read? And it'll be okay, even if President Not Sure wants to keep looking forward and not back. He can keep looking forward. We'd like to look back and cleanse our collective national soul of what those monsters damned well did. The Constitution Project authored the 577-page bipartisan report. They conclude that there was no justification for the United States to torture, that it has no justification, that the torture program authored by Cheney and Bush and that crowd damaged, this is a quote, damaged the standing of our nation, reduced our capacity to convey moral censure when necessary, and potentially increased the danger to U.S. military personnel taken captive. The report also calls for Guantanamo Bay, our concentration camp, our death camp, in fact, as Sandra noted last night, to be closed. But we're going to look forward and not back, right? Oh, by the way, Nancy Grace apparently entered the predicting whodunit lottery. David in South Carolina notes, here's a priceless quote from Nancy Grace. She said, a black man wearing black sweats complete with black hoodie was spotted trying to place a black backpack in a reserved seating area of the marathon yesterday, and he spoke with a Middle Eastern accent. Really? That woman is just so icky. Dr. John says, it's hard to imagine anything more evil than condemning an entire ethnic group to death. We've seen that before. And oh, look, it was right-wingers then, too. Yeah, they hate it when we do that, you know, compare them to right. Michael noting, Bob, I wish I could say Alex Jones's immediate jump to his tired old false flag refrain surprises me, but it does not. Predictable as it is, though, I find it nonetheless incredibly disgusting. I posted the following on Facebook yesterday before hearing Alex Jones as he had even weighed in. 1776 will commence again. Alex Jones on Piers Morgan 3 months ago. I know it is too early to speculate on who attacked the Boston Marathon, but in terms of method, loss of life, and psychological impact on the nation, I can't help but wonder, is this the sort of thing Alex Jones and his ilk had in mind? Michael says, I will just add, regardless of who did this or why they did this, my point remains the same. Isn't this type of attack exactly what Jones was calling for? And now they're going to try and shout, false flag! GTFOH. Get the whoop out of here. Dr. John pointing out, funny how the torture report fits right into the theme of big problems have very obvious solutions, but they require us to step back from dictating policy to the rest of the world. Doesn't it, though? And there's also a corollary in, well, I was reading earlier today over at Charlie Pierce's blog. I do that. I just don't miss it anymore. And there was a guest blog by someone who made reference, and it's just little words that get me, okay? Not entire themes, just little words. And the person listed, you know, regardless of whether it was a domestic terrorism event or an international terrorism event, these were the two words, a simple lunatic. And that kind of ran through me like a dose of salt. Because domestic actor or foreign actor is pretty much the universe of who it could have been. That leaves the door open for everybody. But when you throw in or simple lunatic, simple? Simple like Simon? Simon Simple? Simon Pure? because, and see, that's the thing. Words give us away. A simple lunatic, to say that it was a lunatic is a simple answer. It's easy. It's not the hard answer that we have to deal with in this country, that we have been needing to deal with for nearly 300, no more, 500 years. 500 if you count, you know, St. Augustine. And we really are. We're coming up on the 500th, not too awfully long from now. We're coming up on the 500th anniversary of the fall of Tenochtitlan. And all that that entailed, and the genocide that began in Central and South America and swept northward with the white folks, regardless of whether they spoke Spanish, Portuguese, or English, or occasionally Dutch. Simple answers. And it got all over me because I have had occasion to come into contact with individuals who were not mentally well. I don't like in these contexts using words like crazy or insane or God knows lunatic. Really? Lunatic? In the 21st century, we're gonna haul out the allegation that someone has been adversely affected by the rays of the moon? A simple lunatic. Simple indeed. Because we lack the will to do the hard work of figuring out why it is that whether it be an someone from offshore or someone who is domestically raised, why it is that there is such a level of malevolent, white-hot, and I do mean white, rage seething throughout this country. But I'll tell you the story. I don't even remember the man's name anymore. It was many years ago. But the man, he was a big fella. And he had one of those beautiful baritone bass voices and a southern accent. And he'd been wandering around the county for a while, largely ignored. But the ability of folks to go on ignoring him, and he was very clearly mentally ill, but you know what? This is a country where we'll ignore you. We'll ignore you and let you die. We'll ignore you and let you be mentally ill. We'll ignore you and let you starve. Starve! Right? But ignoring him ended when he showed someone a .44 Magnum revolver pistol that he had upon his person, the muzzle of which was large enough to that you could park a Volkswagen Beetle in it. And it was upon further conversation with this man that he began to explain to us that he had come to our fair county because he had been sent thither by the Fairfax County, Virginia Volunteer Fire Department on a recruiting mission. That he was indeed looking for some fine young men to go back to Fairfax County, Virginia, staff our volunteer fire department. And that was his story, and he was sticking to it. In addition to the firearm, he also carried a flashlight, which he informed us was the method by... He said, now, son, it may look like a flashlight to you, and that's what it's supposed to look like. But what it actually is, it's my receiver. Because every night I point it at the sky and I get my instructions down from the CIA satellite. What instructions? Well, about my recruiting mission for the Fairfax County, Virginia Volunteer Fire Department. I told you about that. Eventually, he was taken in on a mental hygiene petition. I think he was sent away for evaluation, and the last anybody saw of him, he had been driven to the edge of town and let out on the two-lane highway and told not to let the sun set on him in our fair city. Because, you know, like Willard Romney said, if you're sick in this country, you can get treatment. A civil lunatic. That guy wasn't going to hurt anybody. Did he have any business carrying around the Dirty Harry model 44 Magnum revolver? No. But that was the only thing that finally got him into the system. When you want to look at my pistol? Shit. Now, you want to tell me that guy getting instructions via the CIA satellite into his flashlight, maybe through the fillings of his teeth, into his brain? You want to tell me that guy had the perspicacity and the research skills to build a bomb that was loaded with what were described as carpenter's nails? What the hell? What nail is not a carpenter's nail? And BDs and ball bearings and various and sundry forms of sort of ad lib shrapnel and whatever the explosive accelerant was in it, and the timer and the means of triggering the device. See, I don't go in for the crazy. I don't get on the lunatic bus at all. As far as causation is concerned. Because as far as I can tell, all that is a cop-out. That's a confession on our part that we really have no interest in looking into the abyss, because the last time the abyss looked back, and we wet ourselves. Simple lunatic. Yeah. So we've got to take a break here because I'm getting a little scratchy throated. Well, we're going to take a little break. We've got the Green News Report this evening from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyle, and it is, after all, Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. We'll come back to your calls. Lines are open 304-658-3333. You can also get through on the Skype line. Bob Kincaid Horn is the contact address. If you've never called the program, feel free to shoot me a request, and I'll authorize it, and we'll be conversating. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm happy to say we are halfway to our fundraising goal for this evening. Only $75 more to go, and thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. So, light up the phones, smoke them if you got them, that stuff. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn.
Prayer, then forget that they are there. It's all there inside of me. All that guilt for all to see. Yes, I am American. From Normandy to Vietnam. World War II is history. And this advice sounds good to me. It's time to bring that bull to heel and our true hearts to reveal. Are we an empire all alone? Throwing the world a rubber bone? Or can we export dignity? Respecting those who disagree.
Tuesday, April 16, 2013.
Because of the urgency of this issue, we have agreed to engage in a new bilateral dialogue.
U.S. inks climate agreements with China and Japan. Another oil company calls it quits in the Arctic. California sets wind energy record. Score one for the underdogs. Inside Climate News wins a Pulitzer. Plus,
this is another good place for the snails to... Oh, my goodness. Ew.
Florida invaded by giant slimy snails.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
That I love the Earth. If you ask me, it is the greatest planet in the world.
And that's about as snarky as I feel like being today. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, to be frank, with this week's events in Boston, I'm not feeling particularly snarky for some reason.
No, me neither.
So I'm turning to the Green News Report because you always cheer me up with your bright, green, shiny news. You got any of that today in
well,
the Green
actually,
News Report?
Yes, we do.
Really?
We do have some good news.
Thank you.
Online media startup InsideClimateNews.org has won a Pulitzer Prize for its expose on the flawed regulation of U.S. oil pipelines and the 2010 Enbridge tar sands pipeline spill on the Kalamazoo River in Michigan. That was the largest onshore oil spill in U.S. history. InsideClimateNews.org is a tiny, tiny nonprofit. They are doing great work on covering the Exxon Arkansas tar sands pipeline spill. And in fact, Lisa Song with Inside Climate News is the reporter that ExxonMobil threatened to arrest last week. So go underdogs.
So some bad news on the spills, of course, but some good news that somebody's finally taking notice of the great coverage that's happening on the ground.
Yes, and the Pulitzer Committee recognized a lot of excellent environmental reporting. It is moving up in the world.
Bad news, they've overlooked the Green News Report again.
Oh, well. In California, a wind energy record. The operator of the California Electric Grid announced last week that high winds harvested by wind turbines hit a record level of energy output, generating over 4,000 megawatts for the state, and that's nearly equal to the maximum capacity of California's two nuclear power plants combined.
Very cool. That is good news. Thank you for that, too.
Meanwhile, in fossil fuel news...
Uh-oh, here it goes.
The U.S. Chemical Safety Board has concluded that lax state regulations were a factor in the explosion at Chevron's 100-year-old refinery in Richmond, California last year. That sent 15,000 people to the hospital for breathing problems. Quote, weak state regulations allowed the company to monitor rather than simply fix potential problems.
And there was talk for a while that investigators had discovered a pipe had been rerouted to avoid monitoring or something that sounded rather criminal. Anything further on that?
Not yet. We'll find out, hopefully soon. More oil companies are reevaluating their plans to drill in the harsh extremes of the Arctic after Shell Oil's comedy of tragic errors over the last year. Now, ConocoPhillips has announced it has scrapped plans to drill in the Arctic in 2014, blaming strict government regulations, of course.
They ought to blame what happened to Shell, as it was one disaster after another with their rigs getting mired up there, running into storms.
And dodging unpredictable ice flows.
So as of now, there will be no drilling by any of these companies up there in the Arctic this summer.
That's what it looks like.
There's some more good news. Thank you very much.
International climate diplomacy inches forward. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, on a trip to Asia over the weekend, signed two large-scale climate change cooperation agreements with both China and Japan that include pledges to reduce emissions and, quote, set the kind of powerful example that can inspire the world.
Much as we did yesterday in Beijing because of the urgency of this issue, we have agreed to engage in a new bilateral dialogue based on three pillars, focusing on post-2020 climate agreements, enhancing the low emissions development, and helping to build climate resilient societies.
Now, getting China in an agreement is a pretty big deal. It's not binding, but it could pave the way for international negotiations.
Is that a treaty? Would that have to be approved by the U.S. Senate?
No, this is just where they agreed to take pragmatic measures and to share ideas.
Okay, good. There, more good news. Thank you very much.
Finally, Florida is being invaded.
This is another good place for the snails. Oh, my goodness. Ew.
By giant African land snails. They are huge, as big as a rat, and they eat almost everything, including the stucco and plaster on your house, says this inspector for Florida's Department of Agriculture.
They like to eat the stucco off the sides of the houses because it contains calcium, and the calcium helps to build their shells.
Over 117,000 have been caught in just 2 years since they were first discovered in Miami. The Department of Agriculture's Mark Fagan warns they have to be stopped before they spread to Florida's agriculture region.
Stopped and sautéed with butter and garlic. Sounds delicious.
But you can't eat them.
What?
They have a parasite.
Now you tell me. There goes the good news.
Icky.
Well, for more of that mostly good news, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Remember, you can download our broadcast anytime via iTunes or the Stitcher or TuneIn radio apps. You can also find us and like us on the Facebook and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Good News Green News Report.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Don't worry. You know, I really wish, I sincerely wish, George H.W. Bush had not ruined Bobby McFerrin's little song for me. But I can never hear that song now without... Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Still here. Right at the halfway point of the program. I can never hear that song now without remembering that it was used as George H.W. Bush's re-election campaign song. America was, once again, hurting. The economy was imploding. And there was George H.W. Bush telling us, don't worry, be happy. Great guy. We forget what a jackass he was simply because he was followed by his idiot, criminally miscreant son. Yeah, those snails eat stucco because... It's good for healthy, makes for strong snails and bones. No, they don't have bones. Yeah. Shells. Okay. Ick. No climate change. Just saying. Thanks, Kate. Kate says, $20 in PayPal to go into the resurrection reconstruction of the electronic boneyard. Not all nails are the same, Bob. Consider the protective coverings at the top of our toes and fingers. Well, true. True. But I was thinking, I guess a railroad spike. Okay, point taken. And thanks to Jan and Jerry, too, for helping out. Let's see. Wow. $35 to go, and we're done with fundraising for the night. That's wonderful. Thank you, everyone. To the phones, by Jove. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Boy, oh boy. You can't let George Bush take Bobby McFerrin's only song. Come on.
Well, I mean, it wasn't his only song. It's just the only one that ever charted.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the big one. Yeah, I just, it's a good little song, good little message. You can't think of that simpleton when you think of that. Speaking of simpletons, I know people are like, I don't want to make any, I don't want to go out on a limb. I don't want to say this. I don't want to say that. I think, to me, what happened in Boston, the symbolism points in one direction, mostly.
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
Well, okay. You want to know what a nerd I am? I went looking for important dates in April in Muslim history because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
I did find, however, Hitler's birthday, Columbine, mm-hmm. Waco, mm-hmm. Ruby Ridge, Tax Day, Lexington. Concord, Paul Revere's ride.
Patriot Day. Yeah.
Right. And of course, I guess Thomas Jefferson Dr. Bill's talked about the fact that they wrote differently from us because they understood English differently from us.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep thinking, every time... The blood of tyrants and patriots, it is their natural manure.
Mm-hmm.
Really, Tom, did you have to go that far? Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for the visual, Tom. Natural manure. Ick.
Well, any of the other so-called professional terrorist organizations on Earth that haven't been obliterated, they tend to take credit rather quickly.
Well, right. I mean, was there any hesitation on September 11th?
Mm-mm. No. And that, you hate measuring tragedy, but, in orders of magnitude, 9/11 was, a pretty big deal. If you're going to admit to a crime, that would be, I don't know if that would be the first one you'd jump at.
Well, but there was also an operative philosophy behind it. Because their goal was, the first World Trade Center, the bombing, was supposed to suck Bill Clinton into an attack in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Or on Al-Qaeda generally.
Mm-hmm.
But while Bill had his failings, and they are legion,
mm-hmm.
He didn't take the bait. But Dim Leader did not have the IQ of Bill Clinton, and he did take the bait. And so, they said their stated goal was to draw us in and bankrupt us and destroy the economy of the United States. Guess what?
Mission accomplished. Yep.
Yep. Mission accomplished.
Yep.
The terrorists won.
Yep.
Because everything flows from that.
I mean, it's going to be.
I mean, you can kind of argue, Brother Albert, that on say a transatlantic flight from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco, California, for instance, the fact that you cannot get so much as a bag of damn peanuts flows from the collapse of the airlines after September the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true. You really can't. Thanks, United.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can, however, buy a $10 box of of snack brands that you've never heard of before in your life. You know, leftovers from Hickory Farm and such like. Oh, goody, raspberry cheese spread product. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Made from, I don't know, oil byproducts.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. It's, it's just nasty. This is stupid. I'm sick of it. And I hope we catch who did it. And, you know, move on. Like, this kind of, you know, this is such, I don't know. This whole thing is just nasty. I sit there and I'm still kind of shell-shocked that, you know, that this kind of crap is where people need, you know, want to go. And, you know, we have so many other real friggin' issues. You know, it's an authoritarian simpleton that did this. That's how I'm feeling about it. That's my guts telling me what happened.
But can we be careful with Simpleton, Brother Albert? Because there is a... Well, I mean, you know what? If I wanted to, and I don't... Are we clear on this, Agent Fred? Good. And I don't. I would not begin to know how to construct one of those damn things. It's never been one of those things that I woke up in the morning and said, you know, someday I may have the need to know how to make a homemade explosive in a backpack or something and fill it with nails and ball bearings because, you know, I might need to shred some people. I've never done that.
Yeah, but you could. You know, I mean...
But there's a level of sophistication and expertise that has to transpire, that has to exist for you to be able to do it, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's what these people, you know, these people that think about this and, you know, they love weapons and they sit there and they think, oh, how could I, you know, and it's just, you know, what was the documentary, what was his name, that serial killer from the 1880s or whatever it was, he had all these different names, Peckershin or I forget it, anyone who's seen it, but he, you know, he kind of got abused by the system and, you know, always incarcerated and, you know, sitting there and he was broken and raped and all this other stuff. And he wound up, that was what he wanted to do to people, you know? So if you think of somebody in that line, that's all they think about, you know, how can I do this? How can I do that? You know? And so you gotta think, you know, if you have an angry simpleton who's filled with, you know, any kind of radio or Wanda, you know, any kind of that hate-filled radio messages on YouTube, you know, I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend like I know exactly who did this, but, you know, my gut tells me a certain, you know, realm of individuals did this, and you know what? They're not, you know, and, you know, they're not native to just America. They're all over the place. They're the same kind of people that do this kind of crap all the friggin' time. You know, they're always that way. You know, that's why we have stands in this country. You know, we don't have to even speak in code words, but we need these words to kind of, I don't know, isolate certain regions and certain, you know, mental dialects. And that's what these people remind me of. You know, so I got 60 cents out of a dollar that, you know, of who I think, you know, is responsible. You know, but at the same time, if it goes the other way and it's the 40 cent bet, I mean, you know, it's the same mindset. It's the same brand. It's the same level of simpletons who sit there and, you know, that's all they know. They don't know how to heal. They don't know how to forgive. They know how to hate. They know how to, you know, lust for blood. And, you know, they think that they can make their little, you know, they can make their little exhibitions and, you know, drive people into some sort of, you know, patriotic frenzy or jihad or whatever the hell it is. It's always the same. You know, it's the same. I don't care about, you know, what their genetic makeup is. It's the mental makeup. You know, they got big amygdalas, you know. They believe in some of them believe in paradise one way or another, you know, and they've been forgiven for what, you know, horrors they're committing. You know, and, you know, so is this an organized thing? I don't know. It takes two. Yeah. You know, is it, well, I don't know. Where are all the flags showing me? You know, Patriot Day in Boston, you know, I don't know, man.
liberal Massachusetts, gay Marion, yeah. Massachusetts. Remember, we had the one Twitter there. Yeah, you're all damn gay.
Yeah, listen, and listening to them, you know, run off and, you know, oh, we can't point fingers, can't be partisan. Well, you know, I'm honest, I'm partisan, you know, and I don't know, I don't know. I can't see some of the liberal extremist groups that I've heard of even, like, this isn't something they do. I mean, you know, I don't know, maybe they do, but that's not what our history has been showing, you know. We have, what was that other crazy, you know, he was a patriot, you know.
McVay?
Yeah, McVay. I was sitting there. There's so many of these names you got to freaking remember. The Rolodex is overflowing. You know, there's so many of these names. What guy flies into the freaking building? I mean, you know, it's just constant. There are
right,
the Holocaust Museum.
But I guess what drives me nuts, Albert, is that we can even have cases, and this goes back to my thesis, I guess, about saying things like the simple lunatic. We have cases where, for instance, I don't have his name. Like I said, you know, like you said, the Rolodex gets too long to memorize. The guy who set off to go and protect freedom by blowing away the Tides Foundation.
Tides, yep.
Okay, because that George Soros is destroying America.
Yep.
Only thing, and the only thing that saved us, or that saved the Tides Foundation, was the fact that he had to drink a fifth of courage first.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, he got busted for DUI or something on the way to the shoot 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was interviewed by police later, his mama said, well, he just spends all his time being angry now because he watches Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck tells him how it's all coming apart.
Yep.
And so there's direct A to B, draw the line evidence that minds are
being warped, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, like the angry Indian was reminding me last night, Alex Jones is still out there hollering that Glenn Beck stole his shtick.
And he's right.
Well, he is.
He did, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, well, we saw that years ago. You know, I'm sure it took Alex a little while to catch up on stuff that isn't, you know, paranoia. But, I mean, look at this incident, right? I mean, you gotta look, right? We have gun control coming up, right? And all this other stuff. What kind of mind is gonna make a bomb out of a pressure cooker? Could it be someone that say, well, you know, you can kill people with a bomb?
Didn't take no gun, did it?
No, we can kill people with a machete or a baseball bat. Yeah, okay. So what is that? What is this proving? Oh, I mean, that's what I mean. You know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, oh, let's make a bomb out of a pressure cooker. We'll show them. We don't need to worry about guns. Make people more afraid. You know, that's what they are. You know, and they're spreading it. Misery loves company, no? You know, he's going to go kill the Tides Foundation. He's going to fly his plane into the IRS building. He's going to blow up, you know, he's going to set a Ryder truck off and blow that up. And, I mean, he's going to, you know, sit there and his mom gives you, the one that still sticks with me, I don't remember his name because, you know, they don't deserve their names to be remembered in a way. But, you know, the guy who was in Philadelphia, a felon, 19-year-old, you know, his mom asked him to do the dishes and, you know, if you, listen, I'm sick of you talking to me like that, you little fat, you know, and so she calls the police and he says, oh, don't call the police. Now he gets this assault rifle out that he's not legally allowed to own, and he kills three police who are coming just to check a disturbance, you know, because they were going to take his guns. You know, it's like, you know, this behavior is constant. It's been since, you know, it's been going on for a while, and even in the last four and a half, five years, it's just been, you know, accelerating. And it's accelerating, and it's accelerating. You know, we're not seeing the Earth Liberation Front, you know, I don't know what they're doing. They're chaining themselves into trees. But they're not going to sit there and blow up a race. What the hell are they doing there? You know, they hate Nike that much? I mean, what's the motive? What is inspiring them to commit this kind of insanity? You know, because it is, I mean, you know, I know you don't want to say lunatic, yeah, but it is insanity. You're insane when you think like this, that you're going to kill people to further anything or just because. You know, it was that guy down in the Olympic bombing, you remember him? He did the same kind of deal, right?
Eric
what kind
Rudolph.
Of bomb was that even?
Eric Rudolph. Meanwhile, and I think I'm glad you brought that up because I think in part, Albert, that one of the reasons this investigation is proceeding the way it is because the federal government decidedly does not want another Richard Jewell situation. And even despite the best efforts of government, by God, there was the New York Post and Pamela Geller and right wingers of all stripe out there trying to pull a Richard Jewell on a 22-year-old Saudi student of English who just happened to be, as well, the phrase used was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've got real reservations about the use of that phrase, but you know he happened to be a brown skinned man. In the general location at the time that a bomb went off, and this and people in this country assumed that it had to be him. Now he's a student. Was he carrying a backpack? Students do that, you know. But Richard Jewell's life was absolutely ruined, and Richard Jewell has since died. And he died a hounded man, even after he'd been exonerated. And I think that's part of why the investigators tried to handle this the way that they did. But even so, thank you, Wingnut Daily. Thank you, Pamela Geller. Thank you, New York Post. Because you know what? This young man can't stay in Boston. He can't. He would probably, as much as I hate to say it, be best off heading home or to some other country. Because there are people out there, even if they finally get the one white guy who probably did this, or the several white guys, they've already set up their paranoid conspiracy, Albert.
Yep.
False flag! False flag!
Yep. Yep. I mean, this is why, you know, I can't say, you know, I mean, even I'm hesitant to, you know, to actually say who, you know, oh, it definitely was this. You know, but, you know, flags point me, you know, evidence is showing me, and then more evidence is going to come out, you know? It's like the FBI, they're not getting behind the times. They could probably take a fragment and figure out all kinds of crap. You know, heck, man, you know, there's always a serial number. You know, they might be able to figure out who bought it. Go back and check surveillance videos at the Walmart. You know, or what else did, these 50 people bought pressure cookers in the last 3 months. What else did this person buy? And, you know, it's like the system that we live in, you know, you put your card, right, and your card gives you a receipt. Well, that receipt is in the computer. They know every item you purchased. You know, so, yeah, they're going to find out who did it, you know, one way or another. I don't think somebody's bringing a pressure cooker in all the way from Texas or all the way from Saudi Arabia. You know, so whoever did it or whatever the items that they need to purchase, you know, maybe they were super smart. Maybe they were watching Jackal and they went to a couple of swap meets or something. But one way or another, you know, this stuff will get tracked. And, you know, I can't believe a city like Boston doesn't have more cameras. So, you know, and it is. Of course they're going to run off and say, oh, Islam. Well, flags point to me that it's, you know, probably not Islam. I don't know. You know, maybe, but I don't know. I doubt it. You know, I don't know. They got other things that you would think that they would do.
It would seem, among other things, that they're quite busy bombing the snot out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Somalia right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and then Syria. Yeah, Syria is actually, you know, they're dealing with that in the north.
But it's like, and apparently the there's no connection between them. But this ricin envelope that was sent to Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi. Now this guy's a Republican, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He also is. He was A+ rated by the National Rifle Association. But he's one of those people who said, you know, we might could have some background checks.
See?
And Gun Owners of America branded him a traitor.
Ah, there you go.
It's being reported now that the person who sent the letter has been identified and is already in custody.
Interesting. Good. Yeah, good.
How much more
we'll
are we...
See. We'll see who that is.
But I guess the assertion that I'm making, Brother Albert, is that we really, really need to know down deep about these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to say that we caught the guy.
No.
We need to say, white male, awful gun owner,
mm-hmm.
pissed off about background checks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really
scared,
need to...
Scared of Islamo-theocracy.
While he supports the Christian theocracy, right.
Yeah, well, that's true. And, but, you know, hate, you know, loathes, you know, Salam al, you know, Obama, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of the Muslim usurpers. I mean, here's the other thing. Weren't they burning down somebody was trying to start fire to the JFK library?
That turned out just to be a fire.
Just a fire.
But, of course, the false flaggers will holler, Building 7! Building 7!
You know, I mean, well, it wasn't a bomb, but someone set fire. I mean, I don't know, you know, circumstantial evidence. You know. Oh, is it related? Oh, maybe. You know, I don't know. What was it, a Molotov? What was it, you know? You know, what was the fire? A couple matches in a waistband? I mean, it is a library, you know. I don't know. I'm sure. Hopefully, they figure that out. I'm sure there's cameras all over that too.
It was reported that it was. I mean, they said this definitively when they're not saying anything definitively about the bombing. It was said definitively these were not related.
Okay.
You know, like.
Yeah, I can only pay attention to so much. It's been. You
know, I know. Believe me, I know.
You know, I got little baby vapors to inhale.
That's right. How is little Leto?
Oh, he's doing great. He's eating and drinking and pooping, clapping his hands and
all those little important baby things.
Yeah, you know, he knows his name. He's starting to kind of sit up a little bit. You know, he's still a little weebly wobbly. You know, he's got a big brain, so.
Yeah, that big human primate brain.
Yeah, that's, you know, yeah, he's good, though, and Mama's good, and baby, you know, the girls are good, and so, you know, we're all right here. We, you know, we do have our own lives that we got to, and it is, you know, these tragedies, you know, it's the other thing, you know, don't get too sucked up in them. You know, that's how people that commit these acts commit them. You know, they sit there, and they soak in fear and hatred and paranoia. And it's not good for your brain to do that kind of stuff all the time, a little bit here and there. But
so is spring beginning to flirt with you there?
You know, it is, and, you know, I know, it was starting the other day, you know, we went out, we had to go get some stuff, and next thing you know, it's, you know, beautiful out, I'm like, you know, why'd we wear jackets, you know, one of those kind of things, and then we got all this hail and all this other, you know, freezing and everything else, so I don't know, it looks, past few days, it looks like that's lifting, but, you know, the bones around here keep saying, well, we're going for one more. So, I don't know. I'm like the groundhog. Once it hits about 65, I'll go out there. Because I was trying to do it, but, you know, next thing you know, I get hailed on. So,
right.
Other than that, yeah, we're good, though. It's a nice day. It was a beautiful day today.
Well, I couldn't resist the Dune reference at the beginning of the program, so.
Well, what happened? Cut out on me. His phone. My internet.
There was a reference to the weird or something. Weirding, and yeah, that's us here at the home. We have the weirding module. Yeah.
Do you? Awesome. Yeah, but you know,
we're still working on the voice. Okay. We are still, however, working on the voice of command.
Yeah, you guys are right over there. I mean, you know, it's been wet. All has been washed out.
None washed away, but it's still kind of squishy outside. But apparently, that's very, very good for the growth of early spring grass.
That is true. But
I got a note from my buddy. I got a note from my buddy Dennis down in Kentucky, with whom I mow grass from the position of hanging out inside his. inside his MP3 player, and he said, told me earlier today to have a cold one because we just mowed the grass for the second time down in Kentucky. So that
yikes.
Gives you, yeah.
Yikes. And see, and then, they, you know, I don't know, maybe we're in for another hot one.
Oh, it's going to be another hot one. I mean, it's already been another hot one in D.C. Two of the days that we were there last week, it got up to 85 and 90 degrees, you know, in April.
Oh, my God.
And believe me, when it does that in April, I just pour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, goodness. I mean, you got to acclimate, you know. And so,
yeah.
You don't got no time. And, you know, that's the other thing. So it's just like what we're talking about, this bombing and all the flags and all the evidence. So you think it'll be the last, you know, this will be the year that pushes us up. This one will be in the top 10, no? In terms of heat index, right? I mean, because all that ice that, you know, there's the global warming denialists like to, you know, sit there and pretend like they can understand wind currents, pushing ice out to sea in Antarctica during the winter, making more ice cover. You know, when all that ice actually just collapsed and, you know, record melts in Antarctica, what do you think? You think we're going to hit top 10 this year? I don't know. Why would it just rubber band backwards? Climate. What are the parts per million of CO2? And I know I'm rambling here, but it's just so much crap that's, you know, also got to get talked about. You know, we're at 403. We're supposed to be, you know, if we could have stayed at 350, would have been maybe all right. 403.
Right. And what, you know, by next year? 412?
Yeah. 412.
I got 412. I mean, who's got 425? 425, 425. Who's got 425? Do I hear 430?
And I mean, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, we talk about I want to talk about the pipeline of tar sands oil busting up. I want to talk about the pictures that I saw that are just, and they're cleaning the shit up with paper towels.
Yeah, oh, no, what? I know. But, yeah.
What?
Brawny, it's the quicker picker upper.
No, I mean, you see, now the good news is, you know, this is the good news. I mean, you know, that stuff, that toxic, disgusting hydrocarbon sludge, you know, that liquid bitumen, that stuff can be broken down. But not with paper towels and Dawn. You know, come on. You're freaking going to Dawn the outdoors. You're going to...
Well, I love the fact that there's a no-fly zone.
Yeah, that's really disturbing. That disturbs me. What the hell do you mean, no-fly zone? No, you're... What? What is that? I mean...
Well, you know, if a plane was to go down over the oil slick and crash in the oil slick, that would produce... That could produce a real environmental hazard.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh, my God, the fire's going to burn my charcoal briquettes.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, I mean, come on. The house is on fire. What are you talking about? You know, there should be, I mean, there should be a helicopter, everybody. We need to be monitoring this shit. This is what we need to survive. You know, we need this to survive. We don't need money to survive. We don't need, you know. You know, we don't need 20 wall-to-wall coverage of all of the horrors that happen on the planet. We don't need any of that to survive. We need our environment to survive. We need clean water, clean air, healthy soil. You know, healthy soil being, you know, the linchpin to this entire thing. You know, if we don't have healthy soil, we're not going to have any clean air or water. Because what do you think cleans the air and the water? You know, the soil does, you know, with all the plants it produces and just it just breathing on its own. The microorganisms, you know, all these other things, you know, and, you know, here we got snails coming in and this coming in and, you know, heck, earwigs are going extinct. Now, I know that may make some people happy because they think earwigs are creepy, and they are creepy, but they're also beneficial insects. They're like our native ladybugs, you know, they eat pests, and they, you know, they're kind of predators. They're actually kind of cool. Once you sit there and, yeah, they're creepy, I understand. Shake out the outdoor cushions on the chair, you'll be all right. They ain't going to hurt you. Oh, they pinch. Yeah, you'll be all right. I don't want to see them go extinct. Maybe they, you know, I don't want to see what comes in. We got ash borer beetles sitting there going all the way across the, you know, the northern hemisphere. Wait till we start getting fires in the spring in Wisconsin or in Minnesota or in Michigan. You know, we've already been getting them in the spring in Canada. I mean, fires in the spring? What? I mean, you think, midsummer, in the fall, the conditions are right, but spring? What? I mean, spring, it doesn't, come bring that to mind. In New Mexico, they're going into their, 12th year of straight drought, and Texas is, just getting hammered. And, but thankfully, all the new energy that we've actually introduced 2013 is renewable. We haven't been building any more coal plants, any more, they've been installing, gas turbines, but that's just, that's not new. It's just, replacing coal and then, but all the new stuff, it's all solar, it's all wind, and hopefully one day it'll be a geothermal, and it's like, you sit there, you look, right? Remember, and you've done the thing, George Bush, this is a little tidbit I just have to get out there. This will tell you the future. Remember when Bush was like, oh, hydrogen, that's our future, right? Now, hydrogen is a silly fuel. It's a silly thing. It's a game. It's a novelty. Yeah, it works, but it's not real efficient. It doesn't, it's hard to contain. It's hard to do this, You gotta, you need big tanks, or you gotta figure out how to put it into solid metal. It's just a pain in the ass. So, there are 58 hydrogen refueling stations in this country, right? But there are 5,800 electric vehicle recharging stations in this country. And couple that in with the fact that if you did own an electric vehicle, hey, the tax benefit, I just did my taxes, so get to see, oh my God, that's huge, the tax benefits of those things. You gotta get, next year, I gotta get one of these things. Maybe this year, I don't know. But there's 5,800, and you can plug them in your house. And you can plug them in, when you just need an outlet most times to do it. The ranges are getting better. 2013 car of the year is an electric car. Electric is going to be the future. What do we need?
Sure,
electrons,
is.
Where are we going to get it? Yeah, we're not going to get it by burning coal and tar sands. And I mean, this is the thing. This is why it's important. The more we adopt electric vehicles, the less need of a tar sands crap there is. China, everyone likes to talk about China, but I'll tell you, China has been putting in so much. I mean, actually, they have the number one solar panel manufacturing company on the planet, and they double place number two, I mean, they're just, everyone was freaking out about China building some sort of defense weapon out in the Himalaya Mountains, and you sit there and you looked at it from satellite. It was a couple years ago. Everyone was, oh, my God, what are they building, secret nukes? It wound up to be just, a wind park, and you could see that, this other place, this looks like that, and, that has windmills on it, just following the evidence, just following the evidence. Now, maybe those turbines are really giant.
Well, they're giant wind turbine farms that are using communist eco-power to power their plants, wherein they are creating a race of super Chinamen who will then build nuclear reactors and poison things and be scary.
And then North Korea. I feel so bad for the people in that country. It's just terrible. What a terrible place. What a horror that is, to sit there and then they threaten us. Oh, my God. Someone get these people some hugs.
Now they say that they're going to nuke Colorado Springs, but if you look at their map, it looks more like Arkansas.
My goodness.
So I don't know what they're, I don't know what they're after in Fort Smith.
I don't know what they're trying to do. They need a, the leaders in that country need a big spanking.
By the way, the next guy to probably get some sort of threat, Saxby Chambliss of Georgia.
Oh, man.
I find this a little bit interesting because, if Nick Kristof, the New York Times, says maybe we ought to think about actually confirming a director of the ATF, some cub reporter at Politico says, well, you're not necessarily politicizing them. Right? But Saxby Chambliss, remember, this is the guy who morphed a sitting congressman, a sitting Democratic congressman's face into the face of Osama bin Laden. And that sitting senator happened to be Max Cleland, who left a significant portion of his body on the battlefield in Vietnam.
Yep.
While Saxby was busy having a bad knee. that kept him out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
He's decided he didn't like being senator so much. He's tired of being a senator and doesn't want to be a senator anymore. And so he's retiring. And it's amazing what happens, Brother Albert, when people like that decide to quit. They suddenly feel all free. And they start saying things that they would not have said if they were in a reelection campaign. For instance, Saxby Chambliss says, there are a lot of things that are surrounding this, talking about the Boston bombing, that would give an indication that it may have been a domestic terrorist, but that just can't be assumed. Now, that is a hardcore right-wing Georgia senator.
Mm-hmm.
You know your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, of course, it's buried in the CNN story I found. It's buried 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, that's way
11 paragraphs into the story.
Oh, that's way past most of the Tea Publicans I know.
And you know what it's underneath? Now, this is one of those let's have a moment looking at journalism kind of situations.
Mm.
Now, this is context, okay? Let's see, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. The sixth paragraph says, the U.S. government has warned federal agencies in the past that pressure cookers, airtight pots used to quickly cook or preserve foods, and that's a link, and apparently, I don't know, maybe it takes you to the Food Network where you can buy a pressure cooker, have been packed with explosives and shrapnel and detonated with blasting caps, although it says camps. A law enforcement official said Monday's bombs were likely detonated by timers. Then the next paragraph, paragraph 7. Such bombs are, quote-unquote, very effective, terrorism expert Jeff Beatty told CNN. Taliban and Al-Qaeda militants, quote, use them to make their IEDs, he said.
Mm.
Now, let's say you're one of those people that was tweeting earlier about, you know, what they want to do to the right. They probably stop there, and they don't read the next quote. That doesn't mean it was the Taliban. Other people can read about this, said Beatty, who served in the FBI, CIA, and the military's Delta Force.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we get, before we get anything from a sitting U.S. Republican Southern senator about the fact that this might be one of his types,
mm-hmm.
You know, that it's domestic. Well, I mean, he says it may be domestic. He's not, because, you know, it may be may have been one of them radical tree huggers.
Yeah. How dare him even consider it?
And so CNN says the Taliban and Al-Qaeda use pressure cooker bombs. Before they say, but there's no evidence that it's the Taliban or Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus criminy.
Yeah.
Does that strike you as being just an itsy-bitsy bit?
Yeah.
Irresponsible?
I'm putting 85 cents. It's domestic.
The bet went up?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 85 cents. I mean, I just thought about it. I mean, really, Taliban? I mean, come on. The Taliban are going to sit there and, you know, expend all this resources to fill a couple of pressure cookers up at a race on Patriot Day in Boston? What? What does that mean to them? Nothing. Why wouldn't, you know, I mean, at least it's, you know, they're going to go after something symbolic in a, you know, that's symbolic to them and the world and the larger picture. This seems too homegrown to me. I mean, a couple pressure cooker bombs, really? Wouldn't they want to, like, you know, do something bigger? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to diminish, you know, that, yeah, it killed three people and injured hundreds and blew arms and legs. That's terrible. True. But really? I don't know. That doesn't strike as something. Al-Qaeda? How many of them are left anyway? You know, I know they're crawling. Oh, but see, they're calling for lone wolves. Well, yeah, but, you know, we've had lone wolves running around for years.
The problem is there's no such thing as a lone wolf. One does not emerge from the womb a member of the John Birch Society or a listener of Glenn Beck or Alex Jones.
They're coming to take your guns.
You know, I saw an argument made earlier today that Adam Lanza was a lone wolf. And I thought, what a load of crap. Adam Lanza had Mother Lanza, who was taking him to the shooting range, who would not meet people at the front door, who had turned her home into an arsenal.
Yep.
But Adam Lanza was a lone wolf.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, every lone wolf has to be given suckle somewhere, right?
That's true. Exactly. Hey, you got to.
He ain't a lone wolf anymore, is he then?
No. I mean, you know, just like that goober with the .44 and the flashlight satellite receiver unit and the implants, they're enabled. They're enabled with something one way or another. And it could be that they don't have a facility to house him in, so they tell him a line, and he believes it. Or he turns on the radio because he's angry. They're going to take my guns.
And the next thing you know, there's George Norrie. Talking about chemtrails.
Yep. Oh, we got to stop these globalists. We got to stop them in their tracks before they get our children. Yeah. And next thing you know, we gotta do something. We gotta send a message. Yeah, and that's what it tastes like to me. You know, maybe it isn't lemons. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a mango. Maybe, but I don't know. It's like a lemon to me.
Yeah.
If it's a mango, it's not ripe.
It's walking. It's walking on webbed feet and quacking. I'm guessing duck. It could be platypus.
Yeah, 880% rise in hate groups, da 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 da, locally since 2009. Yeah.
Yeah, popping up like mushrooms after a spring rain.
Popping up like, hey, right wing. Again, granted, you know, they're kind of the Aryan part of them is sort of, you know, it depends, you know. Could be a Jew in the Aryan Brotherhood, but yeah, they're going down to Texas executing DAs and their wife with assault weapons. I thought assault weapons didn't commit crime. I thought nobody committed crimes with assault weapons. Oh, unless they're assassinations, you know. Then they'll use those assault rifles.
Right.
Yeah, but you know that they don't rob. Nobody robs a gas station with an assault rifle. Yeah, they use a pistol that we want to regulate. Ooh, you can't regulate. You're gonna take our guns. Can't take our guns.
And that's just like Rwanda.
That's right. And Hitler.
Hitler.
Yep. Hitler took our guns.
Except
he
didn't.
That's the thing they don't understand. Yeah, I saw this, and I got to stay off Facebook because it just drives me nuts.
I know.
But you know, because they try to post these, and right wingers are terrible at the computer. They're just bad. They're bad at Photoshop. They're bad at making videos. They're just terrible. I mean, I know I'm not the only one to notice this. Of course, they're always bad at logic and reason and history. History, forget it. You know, they think Jonah Goldberg, you know, rewrote it or something. Yeah, I saw this picture, Liberal Idiots 101, and about how, you know, it has Dianne Feinstein and Joe Biden and Barack Obama, you know, with their little quotes about, you know, we got to do something about guns here in this country. We have too many. And then Hitler, just in case. See, Hitler wants to take your guns because he wanted, you know. And the thing is, it's like, no, you know, Hitler was taking the guns from the Jews. It's a little different. And it has nothing to do with gun control here in this country. Yeah, all right, we want to keep the guns out of criminals and crazy people. But we don't have one group, one race that we're isolating and saying, we're going to keep the guns away from them. You know, it's not, you know, the way it is now. They already have that, right? I mean, they're going to sit there and look at the race aspect of it, because most cities where most race, you know, most ethnicities other than white live, you know, well, they always have gun control there. But then again, where are they getting these guns from? Right? We all know where they're getting the guns from, right? This is why they don't want to close gun show loophole. They don't want to.
Yeah, they're getting them here.
They don't have our checks for anything. They get them from there. They get them from Indianistan or Indiana T, whatever the whole, the T1, that's a good one too. I just doesn't stick in my brain. Because the stands, they get them from the stands where anybody can buy a gun and you get an ice cream cone. No check. I don't need no check. And what is that, you know, and then the whole, what's the check? Takes a whole 2 minutes to do a freaking background check. Fill out the form, hand it in, boop, 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 boop. okay, you're good to go. Anyway, but the gun shells, oh, you want 500 9mm? Oh, I got them. Yeah, we don't need no background. You're not a felon, right? Oh, I'm not a felon. Yeah, I mean, you know, so we all know where this crap comes and how it gets there. It's been, we've known this for years, and we just like to ignore it. Just like we, oh, can't be a domestic.
Right. Yeah, right. Are you a felon? Heck no. You sure? Yep. All right, here's your gun.
Are you Muslim? You Muslim? I am Muslim. All right. I mean, it gives me a friggin' migraine. It's ridiculous. You know, Hitler, really? Really? So you guys got is Hitler? You got Hitler, you got, Stalin. Stalin took the gun.
Pol Pot, Pol Pot, Pol Pot, don't forget Pol Pot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think once you step into that authoritarianism, you're not in that left spectrum anymore. That's just on my scale. You're not a left winger. Once you hit dictator, once you hit, you know, president for life, you know, those kinds of things that tends to kind of somewhat remove you, at least in my opinion. The only one you got is Castro. I mean, that's in terms of examples. I mean, and even there, it's kind of, you know, if there wasn't an embargo, we'd see what that would have turned into. The embargo somewhat forced them into this, you know, into the socialism that they had to do in order to, you know, pull together and survive. But, it's the Cubans. It's the Cubans. Yeah, that's the next one, right? Remember it's always funny when you hear right-wing ideologues come on and rail against Cuba, right? Right? It's like, really, we need this. Why do we need this? Why do we need this? I don't understand. Why are we boycotting them? Why do we need to keep this up? Oh, because North Korea. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, North Korea, that's a real left-wing place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they believe in that freedom stuff over there in North Korea.
Yeah.
It's a freaking cult. It's a religious cult. It's a political religious cult. Just like anyone who listens to freaking Rush Limbaugh, just like anybody who sit there and all the dictators in Africa, right? And see, oh, we got to eat the flesh, right? General Buck Naked and the rest of them, right? And they're always the same. It's always the same simple-minded, power-mad, you know, just authoritarians that want to sit there and control. Oh, it's a goddamn gays. What do you mean it's the gay? What does gay marriage have anything to do with this? How does that, where the frick did you come up with that? Well, God allowed it. Oh, Jesus, here we go. I mean, you know, I know I'm having a conversation here with both of them, but I don't understand.
It's okay.
It doesn't make it. It gives me a friggin', my brain, my frontal lobe is melting right now. It's like, what are you talking about? Gay marriage? What? What? What is it? What the frick are you talking about? Yo, you hate gay marriage just as much as your Arab colleagues, you know, your Islamists that you hate so much. They hate gays too, you know. And you know, Rick Santorum, man, what happened? He got in the hospital. What happened to poor Rick? What happened? He wasn't in a bathhouse, was he? He didn't get that new bacterial meningitis, did he?
Sure hope not.
I don't know. I don't want, you know, because if he ever gets president. Because he's going to run again. And we got the goober in Wisconsin. I mean, maybe that'll get rid of him. I don't know. This guy's a herpy. Walker.
No, and that man, yeah, he's running. He's running.
What? Yeah, okay. What is he running on? He's destroyed.
He's running on, I get more Koch brothers money than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of his ticket. I'll do what they want. They'll give me money.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a share.
God, that prank phone call was just... No. I mean, what are we? Wisconsin's, what, 47th in jobs or 44th or whatever we are? We collapsed. You know, and, you know, he sits there and gives all this money to Walmart.
And see, the thing about Wisconsin, though, is it's still worth saving.
It is.
It's not, and I guess what I'm saying, it'll always be... But it's not past saving.
Yeah, true. Oh, they're setting them up though. No, they're setting it up. They're putting those, you know, gas cans all over the place. You know, we got the mine. We're going to make jobs. 300 jobs? What are you talking about? You know, it's like you want to create jobs, so you kill the high speed rail aspect of Wisconsin. You know, that we could have been actually, because, I mean, we're going to put a high-speed rail in this country. It's going to freaking happen because there's going to be a need for it. Right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a need for it. Well, what do you think's going to happen when we you know, I mean, and I, you can make jet fuel, you can do all these other things, but, you know, flying on planes, come on. That, 100 years we're going to be flying on planes still. Not powered the way they're powered now. Now, you know, it's not going to be powered out of hydrocarbons, you know what I mean? Maybe biofuels, maybe. But, you know, that stuff's going to get expensive, and you know, trains are going to be, people want to travel. People want to go to the West Coast.
Well, I mean,
East
you know,
Coast,
okay, let's, yeah, you're good at this. Let's engage in a little futurism real quick, Brother Albert. It takes kerosene to fly a jet engine, or to run a jet
mm-hmm.
engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hydrocarbon. But what do rockets, you know, like the Saturn V, what were they fueled with?
Oxygen and hydrogen.
Yeah. Which are not necessarily hydrocarbons.
No.
So what if instead of airplanes we get to the point where we're doing this sort of suborbital thing?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, maybe.
And, you know, New York to London is a, you know, 15-minute ride.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be sweet.
And there are ways of generating hydrogen and oxygen
mm-hmm.
that don't involve pipelines running under people's backyards in Arkansas.
That's true. Very true. Yeah, all you need is some electric current and some water, some electrolyte, and, you know, some an anode and a cathode. And in the right setup, you can make all kinds of hydrogen and oxygen. You know,
and for that matter, as Marty points out, wouldn't it be kind of fun to take a giant airship from New York to London or Paris or whatever? You know,
yeah,
with beds
yeah.
and, you know, hangout time and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be part, I mean, and you know, I'd love it to, yeah, one of those Zeppelins or something. You know, the Hindenburg, that ruined that. That was pretty, you know, nice and smooth. And you know, you can probably put a couple more powerful motors on them in case you get in some trouble and you need some, you know, stabilization, but with the wind currents, you know, increasing like they are. But, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things. And, you know, and trains. You know, trains. I mean, even if people can get on their, you know, dirigible or whatever, their balloon. And
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I may never get back there again, but I will never forget the train travel in Europe.
Well, yeah, And it's only going to get faster, and, you know, the best way to power those is with electrons, you know, electric motor. I mean, and I'm telling you, the electric motor is the future, and it's going to be the future for everything, and they're going to be faster, more reliable, you know, and, you know, history will continue to march onward, you know, but these people that sit here and talk about they want tar sands, and they talk about they want, you know, this and this and this, and all these hydrogen coal keeps the lights on, they're the same people that were crying about the horse farriers and the wagon makers when the car was invented. I mean, and it's like, you know, that isn't it, right? I mean, come on, guys. What are you talking about?
Us buggy whip makers deserve a job. Well, you do. You absolutely do. Welcome to the modern technology.
Yeah, yeah. Here's your wrench. Here's your calipers. You know, here's your hammer and your screwdriver. Go put some solar panels up. You know, it's, you know, and we need that more than we need anything. You know, I mean, in terms of, you know, we need sustainability. If we don't have sustainability, you know, what the hell are we doing? You know, might as well just, you know, drink the Flavor-Aid or something. You know, if we don't have sustainability, I mean, it's like sitting in a house where and leaving it on and it's on fire. Oh, that's all right. You know, all right, everyone, let's go to bed. The house is on fire. Yeah, that's all right. It is not. Goddamn liberal. The house is on fire. Shut up, tree hugger.
Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up, Peyton.
By the way, I have to ask you, just to lighten the mood a little bit, have you seen the new Miracle-Gro commercial?
No. What is it?
You've got some woman talking about how she was never successful at growing houseplants. And, you know, how they just came, her home was where the plants came to die. And then I found Miracle-Gro for houseplants or whatever the product is. And I kid you not, Brother Albert, she says, Miracle-Gro has what plants need.
It's got electrolytes.
come on, you guys. Just take the next step. Just say it's got what plant craves.
Does it really?
We know where you are.
Did she really?
It's got what plants need.
That's what they crave.
It's what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
Well, I filled a cup with the Miracle-Gro, and I filled a cup of water, and I asked the plants. I saw it in a movie once, a documentary. I'm growing plants.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked it. They even had a monster truck in there. Had a big old dildo on the front of it. Oh, God. Oh, Brother Bozzies, you know, they suck me right in. Can't help it.
I know.
Characters. Yeah, it, you know. It's amazing. It's just amazing. But, you know.
We're there. You know, we're there.
We're there. Well, we can still, you know, that's why we have President Not Sure. You know, to tell people to start reading again, even though he's pissing me off every chance he gets. But
working hard at it.
It's still better than Romney. It's better than Romney.
It's just getting harder and harder to tell the difference.
It's just, you know, it's not at 11. You know, those guys jam it up to 11.
But when you come out, Brother Albert, and you say, what America needs is for Social Security and Medicare to be cut to the bone. You old people are eating too much food.
But
it turns out, you know, I'm the wrong guy to talk about mathematics with.
Mm-hmm.
But are you reading this stuff? The whole argument for austerity is based on an economic principle in which the economists in question forgot to carry the two or something.
Yep. 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 And yeah, I mean, and you can see in practice it doesn't work. You know, and Paul, once again, Paul Krugman's right.
Yeah.
You know, the austerity does not work. I mean, how are you going to sit there and Social Security has nothing to do with our deficit? You know, if you want to control our deficit, we all know taxes have to be raised. We have to raise taxes, and especially on a certain group of people who have been getting this, who have been getting more money. What are these people? That's the thing. You're rich. Here's more money. What the hell does that make any sense? You're a billionaire. Here, have more money.
You know what, though, Brother Albert? Once you're a billionaire, you know what that means? It means you're not a trillionaire.
Yeah, that's true. One, then you got to have it.
I mean, if you're a millionaire, really, are you happy? All those billionaires out there looking down their nose at you?
Oh, that's true.
I mean, I don't know how you get out of bed in the morning.
I don't know either. I mean, and God,
it's just another morning being a damn millionaire.
Yep, and the goddamn
I'm
government.
I'm a failure in life. I'm not a billionaire.
And then, of course, the government taxes us every way I go. They
confiscatory taxation, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And here I am, a hardworking millionaire, and the government's trying to destroy me and keep me from ever being a billionaire. And then if I ever is a billionaire, well, there's a lot of other billionaires got more billions than me, damn it.
And Bob, look at what the government's trying to do to me. Trying to get all my workers health care. It's going to cost me 14 cents.
If they were supposed to have health care, they'd be millionaires.
That's right. God there. It's a judgment of God. Yeah.
That's how it works, isn't it?
That's how it is. You know, God deems you worthy and gives you billions or millions or hundreds of millions. And the more people you screw over, the happier God gets, the more money you get. Right.
Right. And as Irish Dave reminds me, Brother Albert, remember, the West wasn't won with a registered pressure cooker. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. It was one, two. But, you know. It's the thing. We all know what we got to do. And cutting Social Security isn't one of them. And, you know, yeah, I know Social Security has government bonds. So, you know, we just went through the largest financial collapse. I tell you, good news, gold is collapsing. So that bubble's finally getting over. And, you know, because, I mean, come on. It happens on the same thing. Always happens every 25 years, every 30 years. Everyone gets panicky.
But you know what I found? You know what I found interesting in the gold in the gold drop story? That news came yesterday on the heels of something that happened last week that, of course, got very little coverage. And it was one of those furniture kicking moments for me. I have a lot of them, Brother Albert. But I walked into the room and I looked at Bo while I was in D.C. and I said, "Son bitch." He said, "What?" I said, "I got a story here. Says that a court in Chile has told Barrick Goldstrike of Canada that they can't have their gold mine in Chile, where Barrick wants to mine gold, object to it because they do not wish to be poisoned to death for the further betterment of the millionaires or billionaires of Barrick Goldstrike." And a court said, "You know what? I think you're right. No more gold mine." Now the case isn't over, but initial rulings like that can sometimes be an indication of which way the court's going to go. So in Chile, in the global south, where they have awakened to what has been done to them over the centuries by people like Barrick Goldstrike or, you know, American folks too, they've said, "You know what? No more. Not going to happen. Not going to let you do it." While the United States of America, you know, that's home to freedom, Wolverines, we can't bear to tell a coal company that they're not allowed to poison innocent little Appalachian babies in the womb. Now, who's the third world country here? Just saying. And then lo and behold, there goes the gold market. What? Yeah. You're not going to get to poison them Chile people? We're not going to have more gold? God damn. I'm going to sell mine now.
Yeah. And then that's what happened. And then, you know, then the arrow comes out of it because, "Ooh, I bought it at 700. Now it's 900. I better sell it." And the more they sell it, the cheaper it gets. Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, somebody pulled a trading places on the gold market yesterday. I don't know if it was Dan Aykroyd or Eddie. Sell!
Yeah.
No, but that reality's even gone. What I find interesting is the degree to which the markets are now manipulated by remember the story about them building the super fast, huge interweb tubes pipeline that ran from Chicago to New York? And the only thing it was going to, I mean, nobody was going to surf porn on this. It was going to do nothing but facilitate trading algorithms. Well,
yep.
The little unreported thing is that when gold collapsed yesterday, well, there was a lot of that computer trading going on. So where'd that come from? Now, I mean, I'm not getting all Glenn Becky or anything, but somebody was putting them sell orders in. I don't know. And I'm certainly not suggesting it had anything to do with the Boston bombing.
No. I mean, I doubt it. I mean, it's not sustainable to sit there and have gold at $1,800. I mean, even copper prices fell, I mean, dramatically. And that's a good thing.
Well, in the chat room,
that's going to, you know, help facilitate a lot of the transitioning we need to start making in terms of being sustainable ourselves. You know, gold has a use that is important, and sitting in someone's gun safe isn't it. You know, it's not money. It's only game currency that counts. Where are you going to get some beans from when everything hits the fan? That's the rationale.
Well, I was planning on growing some if you'd stop poisoning my soil, Clem.
God damn, I need gold. But I need my gold. But you're poisoning the soil. But I need gold. Gold.
Historically, we've
beans.
Since I am an ancient history nerd, we have been there before.
Yep.
And his name was Marcus Licinius Crassus. And he was rich, 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 rich. He was the richest man in the entire Roman Republic. He was richer than the next 100 rich Romans together.
Mm-hmm.
And since he was rich, he was allowed to have an army to play with. And he marched it off into the Syrian desert, where the heirs to the Persian Empire, who were called the Parthians, whipped his ass but captured him alive. At which point the king or whatever of the Parthians told him he could have as much gold as he wanted, and he had it sitting there in front of him in molten form. And they held his mouth open, and they poured liquid gold down his throat.
Mm.
It was funny. He didn't want much gold. And very few people know that avenging the death of Marcus Licinius Crassus, who had been part of the triumvirate, was part of the reason that before he was murdered, Julius Caesar was planning an expedition to go to Parthia and whip ass and take vengeance for the brutal and uncivilized killing of an obviously well-mannered, well-heeled, filthy, rich Roman.
Can't have that. Needs our respect.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of gold. I mean, you respect a guy with
gold.
And see, but the point I'm making is that gold and the greed for gold is A, not new. B, that it is not that wealth is not an equivalent or a synonym for intelligence.
True.
I mean, what do you reckon anybody in the Horn family / commune could probably beat any member of the Walton family just sitting watching an episode of Jeopardy?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing, you know. It's like what I said earlier. Walker, you know, he gives Walmart money so they don't leave. Like, what kind of sick, twisted mindset is that? Oh, if you don't give me any money, I'm not going to sell cheap Chinese crap in your state anymore. Really? How do you make your money? Oh, selling cheap Chinese crap. So if I don't give you this $150 million, whatever it is they got, you're going to leave?
Good. That's what I'm going to do.
Later.
Bye now.
I mean, you know, yeah, we still have some
right if you get work.
Hardware stores here in this state. Yeah, you know, we still have mom and pop.
Oh, no, you've got magnificent small towns.
Yeah.
Beautiful small towns where people know each other's names and stuff. Friday doesn't come and go for me anymore that I don't think wistfully that somewhere that someone is having a beautiful plate of walleye just for the hell of it because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a wistful sigh. I mean, we went into a little place that's been open since 1912. In Hayward, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And there were trophy fish mounted on the wall, some of which had been caught in 1929 or 1923.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who was in it, and the menu wasn't like, well, you know, order up some of our cheddar stuffed jalapeno poppers that, you know, are sitting in the back in the freezer.
Yeah.
You know, they were actually cooking food in there. And granted, it was kind of a touristy town, but there were places you could walk in and buy a hat. I bought a hat because my head was cold. But, you know, oily hardwood floors that you knew were 100 years old. Inhabited by a business that was intimately involved in maintaining a relationship with the people who lived there.
Yep.
So, yeah, sure. Goodbye, Walmart.
Yeah, see ya. Exactly. You know, you don't see, you know, Walmart, you know, it's become, in where it is, it becomes a necessary evil. You know, it becomes something you kind of have to do, you have to partake in, because you have no choice. There's no other grocery store. Where are you going to go?
Well, that's, you know, and that's the Thatcher theory. There is no alternative.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're not benefactors, the Waltons. You know, Scott, the Walkers, the cocks. They're not benefactors. They don't care about nobody except themselves, and because that makes them the most. They don't care. You know, they only pull that morality flag for drumming up their dummies.
Right. That's for the suckers.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's the red meat. He's one of us. Yeah, he knows how to play the game. No, does he, huh? Yeah. It's just, oh, boy.
Smithers, go out and prepare a memorandum of our opposition to the homosexual menace. Right?
very, very, very apt. Nailed it, Brother Bob. Nailed it. It just, they want it all. And that's what it really boils down to, I think, you know. They just want what they want, and they want all of it, and you don't get none, and that's how it is.
And, you know, it was interesting because Dr. Bill used the better portion of his 2 hours this afternoon to talk about the difference between Gemeinschaft und Gesellschaft, community versus society. And there was an element that was exactly what you're talking about. They don't understand these kleptocrats, to use an old
good word.
They don't understand that they don't get to be kleptocrats if the rest of us don't have anything for them to steal.
Mm.
And of course, that goes back to my semi-paranoid assertion about the elections of 2008 and 2012. In that the Republicans didn't really want to win the presidency because nobody has managed to refill the federal treasury yet. They will want the treasury as soon as there's something worth looting out of it. They'll want the presidency as soon as they can, you know, steal us blind again. You got to let us have something before you can steal it from us. And right now they've wandered so far off into the rather taller shrubbery of the zoo that they don't realize that they don't have anything to steal anymore. I mean, because they see that glittering, shining Social Security so-called trust fund out there and all that money that's in Medicaid. Ooh, we could get that. We could have that. I bet we could get that.
Yeah.
When the smart Republicans are actually saying, oh, well, we just hang back and let the money pile up again, then we'll steal it.
Yeah, no, I think you're accurate there, big time. Yeah, and then, we'll start seeing the crazy right-wingers coming in. You know, they got to give them Birch Society, or they got to give them a place to spin their wheels.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to keep them. You've got to keep the rubes entertained.
Yep.
Well, Brother Albert, it has been a lovely conversation. It's been too long since we talked. I'm glad we got this opportunity.
Indeed, Brother Bob, indeed. I missed you.
Tell the whole family that we said hi, and you would be surprised how often you and your entire tribe enter into conversation around here.
Same there. We're always like, hey, what do you think? And we're always saying something. I was keeping them up. I try to keep the Renee up to date, and the girls like, oh, remember them? When are they coming back?
I hope we are sometime soon.
Yeah, well, certainly. I gotta get my pizzeria going. We'll see.
That's true. Albert, you take care.
All right.
Bye now.
You too, Brother Bob. Be well. Bye.
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, and a couple of emails from the bag. Going back to justice earlier, Jack wrote in from Shreveport. He said, you know, Bob, many of us can probably recall that Glenn Beck et al. Have ridiculed the concept of social justice and implied it wasn't even intended to be included in the concept of justice in the Constitution. And that's very true. That is very true. Then, under the subject line, Socialism in Boston, this from Philip. He says, I hesitate to write this given that your exposition of comments on Twitter suggests a strong correlation between use of computer technology and paranoid barbarism and bigotry, but here goes anyways. The situation in Boston is inherently political. Public employers, such as police, fire personnel, and EMTs, the majority of whom are union members, ran towards the scene of the bombings to save victims without regard for their own safety, as did public volunteers. Runners ran to Mass General to donate blood, and Bostonians opened their homes to runners and others whose accommodations were in the cordoned-off area. In short, government workers and those with a sense of community and altruism sought to help others. The likes of Stockman of Texas and others make the lesson inherently political. But it is not the message he or his anti-government or anti-communitarian ilk want to hear or to see. And Philip is entirely correct. Remember, that sense of community and altruism is, by definition, despised by the right wing in this country because they are all almost entirely acolytes of that, shall I use the term, welfare queen, Ayn Rand, who, before she had to get on Medicare or Medicaid or sign up for Social Security, made a pile of money hustling books that said selfishness and greed are positive virtues and that altruism is literally a failing, a character flaw. The desire to make one's community a better place is a weakness. So, yeah, Philip is entirely right in his analysis. And by the way, many thanks. We are still at $115 for this evening's fundraising. This in, by the way, from Georgia, the person, not the state. Georgia's been listening for a very, very long time. She says, I'm hearing echoes of Charlton Heston saying they can take the gun out of his cold, dead hands. Well, he's dead. Grab the gun. They do love their guns, don't they? On the pressure cooker bombs, Georgia says, I heard that there were nails in it. Now, tell those prejudiced little cretins that the Taliban wouldn't bother with nails to effect damage. My considered opinion that is if they did it, they would have tried to blow up Boston, not just an event with runners in Boston. Right-wing idiots. Love to Agnes and the kids. Keep fighting. Signed, Georgia. Thank you, Georgia. Thank you very much. And lo and behold, we just passed tonight's fundraising goal. Wow. That's courtesy of Kate, who kicked in again, just to see that we got there. I can never properly express the gratitude that goes into keeping this going every day. And thank you, Sal. Sal helped out last night and helped out again tonight. It is deeply appreciated. At about 13 minutes before the hour, onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
I got 16 tons of makeup on, and my husband ran off with a Jessica Hall. Wait a minute. I've got that wrong. That wasn't Ayn Rand. That was somebody else. I'm sorry.
No, that wasn't Ayn Rand, but whomever it was, it had to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a whole lot to add. I think you and Albert have done your tour de raison of everything there is, you know.
Well, Albert's special that way. His is a mind that goes in a million different it runs faster than mine does, and it goes places that I wouldn't necessarily come up with. I thought, well, every call from Albert is information dense.
Packed
plumb full.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, away from this thing in Boston, and that's a very terrible thing, and my heart's go out to those people. One thing I wanted to bring up was North Korea and our job over there. I just wonder what's going to happen in that situation. Are we going to continue to be blackmailed by that son of a bitch?
You mean the extent to which they saber rattle and then we send them some food?
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm certainly in favor of not letting innocent people starve. I guess I'm just funny that way. But
well, I'm not in favor of his regime and what they're doing and his holding Southeast Asia hostage to the fact that they have a nuclear device and they're going to use it. I mean, the time has come for it to stop.
But how? The Army War College ran ran war game simulations, Jim, and they reached the determination that the conservative estimate for what it would take to secure the nuclear stockpile of North Korea was in excess of 250,000 American troops. And a whole bunch of the scenarios they ran didn't even have us doing accomplishing the objective.
Well, it wouldn't be 250,000 American troops. It would have to be Chinese. I mean, the Chinese are going to have to step in and do something about this, because I'm sure Chinese people in Beijing are not stupid.
No, they are not, and they know that North Korea will never launch at them.
Well, whether it launches at them, it's going to come back to them.
But the Chinese, Jim, well, they act in their own best interest.
Well, I think their best interest would be to take this guy out of power.
But economically speaking, allowing a unified Korea, which is the stated goal of both nations, North and South, is just a question of who wins the argument. A unified Korea is a massive economic threat to the industrialization of China. And as a consequence, the Chinese, I suspect, find it easier to tolerate the saber rattling and the general nuttiness.
I think in the long run, China would probably profit even more if she had that adjunct. I really do.
Well, only if it was China's.
Well, that's just my opinion. You know, I think that North Korea has gotten to the point that with each one, the grandfather, the son, and now this idiot, Kim Jong-un, or whatever his name is, it's time to teach him a lesson.
Well, the problem is, and this is what I've gotten from reading
and I've done a lot of reading on it too.
But the problem is, no one knows whether these actions are being precipitated by Kim Jong-un or by the military brass trying to show him that they're really the ones who are running the show.
Well, see, that's the problem right there. I mean, they've got this 29-year-old kid who has been a part of a family that's totally dysfunctional. I mean, he's got a brother that got popped in Japan for drugs and all kinds of stuff. And you've got the military supporting this for their own aggrandizement and people starving. And what I am trying to say is, I think we need to make some definite changes along with allies and things of that nature to say, look, this is not going to work. You are the bully on the playground, and it's time for you to step off the stage. And if it takes a couple military out, I don't care. Right now, I am just between this thing and Boston, and I'm not connecting them in any way with Boston.
Oh, no, I didn't think that in the least.
But, I mean, you know, that's just how I feel. And if people don't like it, I don't care. But that's how I feel about King Jong, whatever. I mean, it's just a laughing stock. But the trouble is, one day, somebody over there is going to pop one, and it's going to cause a real problem. Now, we couldn't possibly deploy 250 million troops. It would mean
I didn't say million. I said 250,000.
Whatever. I mean, it may as well be million as far as their ranks are concerned. But, you know, I just hope that China can see its way to realize that the stupidity of the North Korean leadership is not in their best interest.
It isn't, Jim, but the problem as it exists is sort of the same problem that obtains with Pakistan, a nuclear Pakistan. How do you make any kind of guarantee about what happens to the nuclear arsenals if the people who currently have control of them don't? Now, they can't put a warhead on a missile and send it to even so much as Guam. But by God, they can put one on a truck and get it across the Chinese border. Now, having loose nukes running around in North Korea is a much bigger problem to the Chinese than it is.
I mean, why would they put it on a truck and send it to China? I mean,
if China sets about to destabilize the regime, why not?
Well, you know, I look at the whole thing as And dealing with people like this is another Munich. They will let you, they will, you know, they will take as much as you give them.
But I think there are substantial degrees of difference in the analogy. I'm not disagreeing with maybe the mindset, but they're not rolling across the 38th parallel.
Not yet.
And they're not crossing the Yalu.
But what would you do if they did roll across the 38th parallel?
If they roll across 38th parallel, it's obviously on.
Well, that's
and then you're talking about 250,000 American soldiers.
Well, no, we're not going to put that many people in the field, Bob.
Well, you can't. Well, I don't know if we can even. I don't know if we can.
We cannot field an army that large, and you know, it would have to be settled by other means. And that's what these people have been threatening and saber rattling, and I am so tired of it. And I think it's time for these people to be taught a good lesson.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? You want them nuked, Jim?
Whatever possible means. I mean, when you have a bully on the playground, a bully like Adolf Hitler, would it not have been so much better to have taken him out in 1938 than it would 1941 or whatever?
Sure, but if we're going to make those kinds of historically speculative arguments, and you know, you and I've had a conversation about this even, if the von Schlieffen plan had succeeded in 1914, you don't get Hitler.
The two are totally different and totally unrelated.
As are Adolf Hitler and Kim Jong Un.
No, I think basically. This man and his military junta, whom he's trying to impress, are trying to follow certain lessons in history and, you know, find their way to some type of victory or whatever. And I just wonder how long the North Korean people are going to continue to support that type of regime.
I think we have a hard time understanding, Jim, the degree of information lockdown that obtains there. The North Korean people generally, if what I'm reading is correct, think that the rest of the world is a lot worse off than they are.
Well, that's been one hell of a brainwashing activity in which, of course, these people, they have one TV station over there, and all it shows are these movies in which the North Koreans whip American asses, and, of course, they have all these parades and pageants that sort of remind me of Nuremberg.
Well, they remind me of the way that authoritarian regimes behave.
Well,
I mean, if you want a historical parallel, I'm much more comfortable drawing a historical parallel with freaking Sparta.
Well, whatever. But nonetheless, I'm not talking about the Peloponnesian Wars. I'm not talking about people with spears and shields and things of that nature. What I'm talking about is the world of modern politics, the politics of reality. And we simply cannot continue to allow these people to bully an already unstable world. That is my point.
I understand, Jim. My counterpoint is merely that it is an unstable region, and destabilizing North Korea further makes it even more so, not less so. And I think that's what the Chinese are thinking about. I certainly think that's what the U.S. and the rest of the Western world are considering. But unfortunately, oh my God, we got to get out of here, Jim. It's good hearing from you. Hopefully, we'll talk soon and in greater depth.
Well, if we have the time, we will.
All right, bye now. And it is time to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thanks, of course, to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and acact.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is next on The Horn.